Proverbs chapter 1. When a child is born, there's not a question of if you'll ever have to change that baby's diaper. It's just when. Okay, the details surrounding it. It's not a question of if, it's when. Well, the same thing is regarding their heart. It's not a question whether or not you're going to have to change their heart. It's just when. They're going to be born with foolishness in their heart. And so it's not a question of, am I going to have to impact that child's heart? Am I going to have to try to change that child's heart? Yes, you are. The question is when and in what areas and how hard are you going to have to battle for it? Some of you would raise children and find, boy, some of them went pretty easy, didn't they? You seem to speak, fear seemed to immediately be in them, whatever it might have been, because of their personality, because of their character. Some children are fairly easy to raise. But then other children, boy, they can be a little bit more challenging, challenge you daily on a regular basis. And so, again, what we want to do is say, you know what, we want to be up to that battle. We don't want to just allow that child's heart to be taken over and swept away. And so I want to give a second challenge here, which will lead into a third. I know I won't get completed tonight, but on Mother's Day and that evening, I gave a challenge regarding the battle for your child. And tonight I want to give a second lesson on the beginning of the battle for your child. Let's look at the beginning of it. It's been a long time since I really preached on the identifying marks of, I mentioned it in that message in brevity, but I didn't really show you any scriptures, the identifying marks of the various fools and giving you some examples of that. I want to go a little bit deeper tonight, so some of it's going to be refreshed. That's okay. Preaching isn't all about trying to come up with something new. It's just trying to remind us of some things. And again, there are people here definitely tonight. If nothing else, we've got the Shirks visiting, and maybe it'll be totally new for them, and we can encourage their hearts through that. I really want to encourage also parents and grandparents to study the book of Proverbs from time to time with your child or children in mind. Thinking maybe ahead of time, these are some of the weaknesses, and maybe put a list of your children, one, two, three, however many you may have, and say, well, they have a tendency to this weakness, they have a tendency to this sin, and kind of earmark that. And then as you're reading through and studying, fleshing out, trying to understand that a little bit better, I would encourage you then to study that book of Proverbs with your children in mind. And then finding verses that will be really helpful to you as a parent, and then finding verses that will be really helpful for them as a child. So I want to talk to you tonight about the beginning of the battle for your child. And let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How important children are, not only to you, but to us. Father, one of the delights of the parental home is welcoming that first child and welcoming another child, and as you so bless, welcoming children into the home. And while that is such a delight, we often don't really realize how much will also be a battle. They are young and gullible and open to so many things, and sometimes Satan so early attacks that young child. And so, Father, we have to be willing to battle back. And in battling back, we have to understand what the battle may entail and what our child's heart may be like. And what are the identifying features of a simple fool, a stubborn fool, and of a scornful fool? And so I pray that this challenge tonight be really practical, really helpful, and that it'll be interesting. And that we gain something to help, especially the parents. But even as the children listen tonight, they may listen and say, wow, I'm stubborn in some areas. And I ought not to be, or I'm even scornful in some areas. And so help even our young people to identify maybe some areas where it is like them. They're being described in your word. And may they become fearful of you. May they become repentant of their activity. And Father, recognize that the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow to it. And how they might seek your blessing instead of your judgment because of their activity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look here at Proverbs chapter 1. I want you to look at verses 20 through 22. And we're going to focus especially on verse 22 to help us with this first part of identifying the different fools. Wisdom crieth without, it says in verse 20. She uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, look at verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in scorning, and the fools hate knowledge? Right there is a description of the three kind of fools that are taught to us in the Word of God. We have the simple, we have the stubborn, and we have the scornful. Now, what do you notice about this simple? What is it? How does it describe them? They what? They love simplicity. Do you see that there? It talks about how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? How long will you stay loving to be just a simple fool? We're going to look at that a little bit more in detail in just a moment. Number two, though, secondly, let's look at the scornful since it comes secondly. And what do the scorners do? They delight in scorning. Actually, the word scorning is bragging. A scornful fool will get involved in sinful practices and then brag about it. How often have criminals been caught just merely because they've been bragging about what they did? They're kind of proud of what they did and boasting about what they did, maybe even posting it online. They've ultimately gotten caught. That's the idea behind a scornful fool. It is someone that does wrong and is willing to brag about it and willing to get others involved. So the simple ones, they love simplicity. They love being without knowledge. They love being open to everything. The scornful fool is one who delights in bragging about what they do. They do something wrong and they brag about it. And then what's the identifying feature of the stubborn fool? It just calls them a fool. They what? They hate knowledge. They have progressed from being a simple fool who's open to kind of everything to being stubborn. They don't want to hear what's wrong. They don't want to hear that they shouldn't be doing that. And so let's identify this a little bit closer tonight. I want you to begin by now. You're in Proverbs chapter 1. We'll look there earlier in a moment. But let's just talk about this, examine a little bit more closely the simple fool. They love simplicity. They're wide open, they're naive, they're gullible. You might hear those definitions to that word. Listen to these verses. Proverbs 7:7 describes them this way, "And behold, among the simple ones, a young man void of understanding." In Proverbs 9:13, "A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knowing nothing." Verse number 18 talks about a simple man, "He knoweth not." In Proverbs 14:15, "The simple believeth every word." There's the idea of being gullible. There's the idea of being naive or even being open. A simple fool is kind of like a small child. They're kind of willing to try anything. That's why you got to be careful what you encourage a young child to do. Depending where they are, they don't think about the ramifications of what they do. You could put them on the edge of somewhere and tell them to jump, and if you're not careful, they'll jump. Why? They don't think about the consequences. As a child is born into your home, they are born gullible, they are born naive, they are born simple. The Word of God teaches us that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And so what we need to do is drive that far from them. We need to teach and train them to get that out of their lives. But you know what? Simplicity is not only in children. Think about Adam and Eve, especially Eve. Think about that temptation in the garden. She was really gullible, in a sense naive, open. The serpent, Satan, said unto her, about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If God said, and beginning to get her to question God, and Nathan brought out in our Sunday school the other week, it's almost like the verses go on to say that it almost sounds like, well, this is the first time she ever really looked at the tree And Eve saw that the tree was good for food. It's like she had never looked at it that way before. And all of a sudden, she was really open to the temptation, gullible to the situation, and there in that garden, and she was, the key word is deceived. Bible teaches that Adam disobeyed, she was deceived. You know how easy it is to deceive a child? Especially a simple child. They're void of understanding. They don't know. And so very often you can easily deceive them. If they had a $100 bill, they shouldn't, but if they did have a $100 bill, and you had a candy bar, hey, I'll give you this candy bar if you give me a $100 bill. What would a normal child do? They'd give you the $100. They're not sure what they can do with that, but they know what they can do with that candy bar. And so again, that's a simplicity. What about Proverbs chapter 1? Let's look at this a little bit closer. Let's begin with verse number 10. My son, and Solomon is there going to teach him about the simplicity of being a fool, also about the stubbornness of being a fool or even being a scornful fool. He said, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If a scorner entices thee, don't listen to him. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait. Let us. So he's saying, you know what? If somebody, don't be open to this. Don't be gullible. Don't be naive. If they come and try to get you to be involved in what they're doing, he's warning his son. He's teaching his son. He's training his son not to go with them. They might say, let us swallow them up alive as a grave and whole as those that go down to the pit. Verse number 13, we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. I mean, they're gonna wax it beautifully. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, here's his instruction. Walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. And he continues to go on. So here is a simple fool. One who is open, one who is gullible, one who is naive, and what Solomon's doing is preparing his son to be really careful. Very often, I think at a really young age, you begin to teach your children about somebody who's a stranger. Typically said stranger danger these days. And really warning them about strangers and people that they don't know coming into their lives. And again, what you're doing is you're taking someone who's naive and void of understanding and trying to guard them a little bit, trying to instruct them. Let's look secondly at then the stubborn fool. This is one described in chapter 1, verse 22 as one that hates knowledge. The simple fool doesn't understand between right and wrong. They need trained. But the stubborn fool understands and doesn't want to hear it. You have a simple fool. And by the way, I'm going to talk about this throughout the message. You can have a child that's simple in one area, stubborn in another area, and scornful in yet another area. So this isn't, okay, I got to identify if my child is simple, my child is stubborn, or my child is scornful. You've really got to evaluate deeper than that. There are areas where your children are pretty naive yet because of the training, because of how they were brought up, because of what you allowed or didn't allow for them to be involved in their lives. There's some areas where they're pretty naive. There are other areas where they're pretty stubborn. They already know right from wrong. They don't want to hear it. Then you have other areas where they're scornful. They've actually already been involved in that area. And they've bragged about it. Maybe not to mom and dad. Maybe mom and dad isn't aware of it. But maybe they've bragged about it to their friends and such like. So here is someone who, it's not that they're void of understanding. As a simple, they don't want to hear it. They know right from wrong. Look at chapter 1, you're still there, verse 7, where it says toward the end, fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's talking about a stubborn fool. They're going to despise wisdom and instruction. Look down at, again, verse number 22, they hate knowledge. Look down, or let me just share this with you. We're going to stay in chapter 1. In chapter 10, verse number 8, the wise in heart will receive commandments. but a prating fool shall fall. They don't want to receive commandments. They're going to just go on and do wrong. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, it says in chapter 10, verse number 18, and he that uttereth slander is a fool. That's somebody who's stubborn, just stuck in their ways. Well, look here a little bit further of an example in chapter 1. Let's begin now in verse number 23. It says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, ye refuse. The Lord says, I've been trying to get a hold of your heart, but I called and ye refused. Verse 25. But ye have set at naught all of my counsel, ye would none of my reproof. Can you imagine? Here's Solomon speaking to his son. He's warning him about the stubbornness sometimes that would creep into his life. He says, you know what? I really want to try to reach out and really want to try to impact my life, but I've called and you haven't listened. I've tried to counsel you, but you received it as if it's nothing. You set it at naught. Ye would none of my reproof. Look at verse 29. For that they hated knowledge. It did not choose the fear of the Lord. By the way, that is a choice, young people. You make choices. As your parent instructs you, you make choices of whether or not you're going to listen to them. You make choices of whether or not you're going to obey them. Sometimes, you know, mom is tired that day and mom's got a lot going, so some reason you test her a little bit more. Sometimes you know there's a lot going on. What is it about when the phone rings? Does that still happen? Is that a new thing? Or is that an old thing? Or does that still happen? The phone rings, mom and dad get on the phone, and the kids go crazy. Does that still happen these days? Never happened in our home, of course, but with the perfect children we raised. But anyway, seems like whenever you get busy doing something, children can notice mom and dad aren't giving their utmost attention, and then they will make a mad scramble to undo whatever they can within the home. Look at verse 29. They hated knowledge, did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despise my... This isn't talking about a simple fool anymore. He was training the simple fool, and why was he doing that? He didn't want them to become stubborn. And he begins to describe to them what a stubborn fool is like. There's someone that doesn't want to hear it. What about you, young person? When your parent instructs you, are you rolling your eyes? Are you turning away from them? Are you giving thought to them? Are you listening to them? Are you paying attention? Are you focusing on them and listening to their words? Look what it says in verse 31. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Verse 33. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely. He says, dear friend, you're going to make a choice, remember? Dear child, you're going to make a choice. If you choose to be stubborn and not obeying your parent, the Lord says, you know what? You're going to be filled with your own devices. There's going to be some consequences for that. But if you choose to hearken unto them, there's going to be safety in that. Let's look then at the third fool, just again identifying the fool. This is one that delights in scorning. The word delight actually means a desire to scorn, takes pleasure in scorning. And again, the word scorning has the idea of bragging or mocking those that are doing right. It says this in Proverbs 14:9, fools make a mock of sin. Proverbs 19:28, an ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked poureth out iniquity. It says in Proverbs 21:24, proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. You also recognize this, I didn't know this until this study here, that often a scornful child also has anger issues. As they develop and get older, they become scornful and they also become angry. You're also going to have to often deal with proud anger. Their anger is a cause of their own pride. That's identified in Proverbs. Proverbs 10:23 says this, "It is a sport to a fool to do mischief." Hey, they have fun with it. They like getting involved in doing wrong. But it goes on to say, "But a man of understanding hath wisdom." So if you have a child that's arrogant, they do wrong and they're a bit arrogant about it. You know what? They're identified as a scornful fool. If you have a child that's critical of others that are doing right, that's their own heart issue. Again, Proverbs deals with them and says, you know what? If they're critical of others that are doing right, it's because they're a scornful fool. If you have a child trying to get others involved in sin, trying to whisper behind the parents' back, texting, Facebook, whatever connection you have, and trying to get others to meet up to do something wrong, you're dealing with someone that's a scornful fool. If you have a child that preys on the mind of a simple one, going back to Proverbs chapter 1, without turning there, without reading it, "My son, if sinners entice thee, if the scornful entice thee, consent thou not." It's kind of like Satan. Satan has been likened unto a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Again, we've talked about this multitudes of times from different angles. But what kind of animals does a lion attack? Ones that are weak, ones that are sick, ones that are... We are not teaching speaking in tongues here, dear friends. I'm sorry, so many of you are giving, I'm sure, right answers. They're often isolated, lonely, young. I did hear that one. And so this is similar characteristics to a scornful fool. You've got to be careful. If you've got a child that's scornful and you're wondering, well, I wonder why they're talking to that kid over there. They may be trying to get them involved. That's just part of their character. Again, you have a young child that's pretty open and simple. You've got to really guard what people they are involved with. Because so often they could be being tried to be drawn in by someone that's a scorner. Again, I'm just touching the tip of the iceberg, trying to feed you some information. There is so much in Proverbs. Maybe take it and begin to examine it by looking at the foolish here and identifying those marks. Let's go over to chapter 7 here. I want to go a little bit deeper with the scornful. Isn't it interesting that often a scornful fool doesn't want to do anything alone? They often, when they do something wrong, want to involve others. They don't want to take the rap, as it might be said. Let us, come with us, cast in thy lot among us. Here's an example of a scornful fool. It's a female. I think often we think of the guys. We think of them getting into trouble. We think of them being a little bit more malicious at times. But you know what? You've got to protect the heart of a young girl as well. It says in verse number 5, "The stranger which flattereth with her words." Flattery is often empty compliments. They're complimenting, not because they really believe that, but they're trying to lure you into something. You'll see that in just a minute here. Look at verse number 10, partway through. "There met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart." He says, here's what she had on the outside. Here's what's on the inside. Again, she's a scornful fool. And she is preying on the one I read earlier about. This is the young man that was void of understanding. So here's one who's a woman who knows the ways. She's street smart, as they might say. And here's a young man who's gullible. And she flatters him with her words. She met him with the attire of an harlot. She's subtle of heart, meaning deceitful, skilled in deception. Look at verse number 11. She's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. She doesn't stay home. She doesn't stay under authority. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, look at this in verse, remember, she flattereth with her words. Look what she says in verse 15. Therefore came I for to meet. Hey, I've been looking for you, big guy. Was she looking for him or was she looking for anybody? She's on every corner. But when she met him and he was simple, knowing nothing, she said, hey, I've been looking for you. And diligently to seek thy face, and I've found you. You're the one I've been looking for all my life. Did she really mean that? No, it's flattery. She's trying to draw him in. I'm not going to go on with this story, but you could continue to read chapter number 7 here. And again, if you're trying to identify, is my child simple, is my child stubborn, or is my child scornful, there are passages in here will help you to be able to identify that in your child. And again, I want to make emphasis of this. They may be simple in one area, stubborn in another, and yet in another find themselves to be scornful. Let's identify the different fools and the parenting mindset. Secondly, the parenting mindset. What are your goals? Your goals in trying to deal with a child, and this is we're only going to get to the second point here, and maybe only partway through. But your goal here as a parent is number one, to try to get your child to identify their own heart. You want the child as much as you can. And we're going to see how we're going to do this in a moment. But you want the child to identify, wow, I'm becoming stubborn in this area. You want them to see it for themselves more than them to just hear it from you. You know, you could come home, you could catch them doing something and say, you're stubborn. Or you can approach it differently where they begin to identify the stubbornness in their own heart. A second goal is try to get them to see God's heart. What does God think about my activity? What does God say my end will be? Thirdly, you want to help them to see God's goal for their life, which is glorifying Him. And that will bring the peace, the joy. A lot of times they're seeking for happiness, they're seeking for contentment. And they'll find that all in the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, what we're trying to do when you're trying to parent or grandparent or you're trying to impact a young heart as a teacher or a mentor, again, what you're trying to do is help them to expose their own heart. You're trying to help them to see the Lord's heart. You're trying to help them to see God's goal for their life, and in achieving God's goal, which is glorifying Him, they'll find peace and joy. And then fourthly, teach them that sin has consequences and judgment. I've been amazed in this study of how Solomon and in other passages, it was really open. Hey, you do this. Here's going to be the consequences. Here's going to be the judgment for it. Now you make the decision. And again, now being able to help the child to later say, hey, you made the choice. We had told you what some of the consequences would be. You made the choice, now you're going to have to suffer the consequences. Let's expose two of these a little bit more. By the way, these are my own. I didn't read a book and come up with these 4 points. I'm sure you could add some tremendous points to it. I'm not saying this is an exhaustive list. Just as I was studying out Proverbs and studying out how I saw Solomon trying to train his son, these were 4 things that I noticed. And I want to look at 2 of them a little bit more closely and then close the service out tonight. First of all, this idea of exposing their heart. How do you do that? And I found this, and especially I'm going to use some examples we used in our Genesis study in Sunday school. When God was dealing with Adam and Eve, and then God dealt with Cain, how did he get them to see their own heart? What did he do? He did what? He asked questions. Go to Genesis chapter 3 with me for a second. Let me ask you this. Did God know? What's the first question he asked after the sin? Where art thou? They're hiding, correct? They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Can you imagine that? That's what sin does in our lives. As Christians, you would think, wow, I never want to be out of the presence of the Lord. I need Him every hour, every moment. But when we get involved in sin, we don't want Him around, do we? And I think we kind of make it in our own mind as if He isn't there. Again, have you ever caught someone doing something and all of a sudden they hide it? And they don't want you to see, but God was always there. And they did it as if He wasn't. Anyway, He says, where art thou? He knew, but what was He trying to do? He was trying to get them to expose their own heart. He goes on and asks another question. Well, who told you you were naked? Yeah, he knew what caused them to see their nakedness. They also saw their sinfulness, and I think the nakedness is really an illustration or an analogy of their sinfulness. What were they in a sense seeing? They were seeing physical nakedness, yes, but they were seeing their sinfulness. So the Lord asked, well, who told you that? He asked another question here. Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should? Did you eat of the tree that I told you not to eat of? Isn't that interesting how he says that? Did you eat of the tree that I commanded you not to eat of? Did you do what I told you not to do? And again, what you're trying to do is get that child to see their own heart. We can go and we can quote Jeremiah, 17:9, and tell them how desperate and deceitfully wicked their heart is. But what would happen if you went in and just started lobbing accusations? What does a child do? What happens to their heart? Does it open to you or does it? The heart closes. They get defensive. So here's God. He knows they did wrong, but He doesn't go in and say, I can't believe you did that. And I can't believe you're trying to hide from me. I know where you are. And I can't believe you're there and you're sinful. And I commanded you not to do that. Why? But no, He's asking questions. And again, I encourage you as a parent to ask questions. And you're not asking questions because you don't know. Sometimes you are. But even if you do know, it's still right to ask questions. Because what are you trying to do? You're trying to get them to expose their own heart. Because often, if they hear it from you, they draw in and become defensive. But if they hear it drawn out from them, it really opens them up to communication and seeing their own heart. What is it that thou hast done? I wonder what their answer was to that. That was the fourth question. What is it that you've done? Did you ever get caught and you swallowed? You could feel the swallow. Your heart's racing. I've never experienced any of this, but I can't imagine what they felt like. Here's a God that had done everything for them and told them there's one tree you can't eat of. and they disobeyed. And now, for the very first time, they're experiencing guilt. And I'm sure it was probably uncomfortable that he was asking questions. They'd probably just rather he took them over his knee and spanked them. But he took them through the questions because he wanted them to see their own heart. What about Cain? Let's go to chapter 4. What's the first question he asked Cain? Can you find it? Why art thou wroth? Why are you angry? And why what? Why is your countenance fallen? Why are you so sad in the face? Here he goes on, placed a little bit differently. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If you've done right, aren't you going to be accepted if you did what was right? Where's your brother? Where's your brother Abel? I find it interesting. He ends with the same basic question that he ended with Adam and Eve. What hast thou done? I don't know. I haven't fleshed out really far. Maybe a parent could take it further. I find it interesting when he ends both series of questions, he ends at the very end by, okay, what have you done? And maybe that's really good. Maybe that ought to be brought into the parenting process. Maybe some of you ought to flesh that out more. Chris is now a preacher, and don't come back in Spanish and tell us what it is. Come back in English and tell us what it is. But really, you know, he drives them because what's he trying to do? He's trying to expose their heart by asking a series of questions. Maybe you're a parent that deals with your children's disobedience by anger. And by accusations and by getting loud, what are we teaching them? Well, if something doesn't go my way, this is how I handle it. I get angry, I can get loud, I can get, you know, accusatory. What if our children catch us doing wrong? Are they allowed to get angry? Are they allowed to get loud? Are they allowed to accuse you? So again, I think what we need to do is to find that first part, answering that first goal of exposing their heart. We have to recognize God knew all the answers. He wasn't asking questions because he didn't know the answer, but what he wanted to do was to allow them to see their own heart. So we have three kind of fools. Sometimes your child is simple, sometimes they're stubborn, sometimes they're scornful. And each time to see and help them to identify their own heart, we should begin by asking questions. I'll conclude this study next Sunday night. I think there's a lot for us here to absorb, and you've been fed a lot, and you've had a long day, so I don't want to just continue on here tonight. May we just take what we've already gotten and apply it. Parent, as you go out throughout this week, begin to take some of these truths, take these notes, maybe do some further study, maybe examine the passages a little more clearly, closely, as we might describe it, fleshing it out, understanding it better, and then applying it to our lives. May we understand and even follow the Lord's example into exposing a child's heart. Let us pray.